I was on the internet the other day during my lunch hour and I found this parable. Just wanted to read it to you. It's called The Parable of the Perfect Church Service. Not that I'm saying this is going to be it. A pastor was teaching at a church service of a relatively successful church, which he had only recently joined the staff of. He was teaching on the subject of listening to God, intimacy with God, and drawing into the presence of God. During the service, he saw someone who had never been to the service before arrive. They moved slowly, they had a walking stick, but otherwise seemed fine. As he taught, he noticed her with her eyes intently closed, but seemingly very intent on prayer and reflection, with a hand open to receive. No one tried to disturb her. Everyone left her to her own devices. At the end of the service, after everyone had gone, she was still there, still with her eyes closed, still with her hands out, and it was time to lock up the building. The pastor quietly went to tell her it was time to go. He tapped her on the shoulder and she instantly knew he was there. In a way, that's what a perfect service should be. It should allow you to have full communion with God. So I just pray that this morning, that's what we'll have. Through the words that are spoken, the hymns that we sing, we'll be able to meet individually with God. I'd like you to turn to the person next to you, or if it's Dorothy, the person behind you, or whatever. Doesn't matter who it is. And I want you to say something encouraging to them, and I want them to say something encouraging to you. And you've only got a minute to do it, so go. Not working. Can we just swap with... Shall I swap with Helen? Because Helen's worked, isn't it? Shall I go and ask her? Okay, right. Thank you. Yes, you've had your minute. Have you said something encouraging to someone? Yes. Have they said something encouraging to you? Yes. Do you feel encouraged? Really, do you feel encouraged? I don't know. Because when I was thinking of this, I thought, it's such a false situation. And encouragement can be a very false thing. And me telling you to encourage someone, and you doing it, and you being encouraged by someone, you must be thinking at the back of your mind, well, they've been told to do that. They've been told to encourage someone, and so they've done it. And it can't quite have the same as encouragement should be, and I'm not sure that's what encouragement should be. When I do training in Rochdale, which is my job, we get back at the end of the day, we get what are called feedback sheets. We call them happy clappy sheets. Because you give them out at the end of the training, and everybody knows that if you fill them in quickly, you get your car, you get off, you're home. If you take a lot of time over them, write and think and ponder and all, you're going to be 10 minutes after the first person's gone. So everybody ticks, excellent, 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 puts their name at the bottom, throws them in, and they're gone. And that's just the way it is. What encourages me is when people don't put excellent, 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 excellent. They might put a good or a could be better or whatever and actually write something. Well, I feel that this could have been done differently, or I thought this particular thing was done really well, or that's where the encouragement comes from, for me, when people actually take time. The other thing that encourages me is when people tell me something about us. Don't all do it after this service, but tell me something about the service that they liked or didn't like, simply because that says that they've been listening. They've actually heard what's been said. I don't think it's a relation of Clifford's, but there's someone called William Ward that wrote this. And it says, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticise me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will never forget you." The encouragers in the church and the encouragers in life are the people we don't forget. Somebody that encouraged me was Tom Savage, and there's people here that won't even remember or know who I'm talking about, but Tom Savage worked in the church, died many years ago, but consistently encouraged me to do things, to get on and try things and do something new and be part of the youth club and all sorts of little things. But to me it meant a lot, because he was a positive encourager. There's other people. I don't want to make lists of people in the church that are encouragers, because I'd have to say you all, because you all do encourage. There's another story. It's the final story I'll tell before we start the actual message. The Duke of Wellington, the military leader who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, was not an easy man to serve under. He was described as brilliant and demanding and not one to shower his subordinates with compliments. Yet even Wellington recognised his methods left something to be desired. In his old age, a young lady asked him what, if anything, he would do differently if he'd had his life to live over again. Wellington thought for a moment and then replied, "I'd give people more praise." Don't get to the end of your life and wish that you'd been more of an encourager. It's something that you have to actually practice, something that you have to actually do. And your mindset has to be one of an encourager. But the good news is, it's something that grows. Once you start to encourage, it becomes a habit, a really good habit, and you continue to encourage through your words and your actions. This week, somebody brought their new baby into work, and it was lovely to sort of see the baby, and I even dared to hold the baby very briefly. It scares me holding other people's babies, but very briefly, and I was sat down, so I was all right, the baby was safe. But we've all watched infants, babies, toddlers that are just about to walk, and we've all seen parents that encourage the child by standing them and holding their little hands and sort of just allowing them to toddle along. Rachel will be doing this very soon, I'm sure. But yes, we allow them to toddle along, and we see them walk. And we say things that are encouraging. We stand at one end of the room and go, "Come to me, you can do it, you can do it." And if they don't quite make it, you catch them, and then another time you'll try again. And the baby responds with trust, and the baby responds by trying to do what they're being encouraged to do. They have complete trust in their parents, but caution in their own ability. And very often that's true with us. We have complete trust in God, but we doubt our own ability to fit into his plans. So we might believe that God can do it, but we're not sure that we can be part of it. When the baby finally takes his first step, it's a great day. It leads to new worlds opening up, worlds of adventure that the child can never imagine. We all live in a world of daily challenges to venture beyond where we've been before, to enter painful, frightening arenas, or to stay where we are. We all have the option every day to stay as we are or to move on and change. We all have the option every day to do nothing or to do something for God. The encouragement of others helps us move from fear and passivity to belief and action. It isn't a cure-all, but the encouragement of others does help us move forward, even though we're uncertain. And this is what James wrote. James wrote in chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. It's on page 1150 of your church Bibles if you want to look it up. Page 1150. And it's chapter 5, 13 to 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make them well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. In writing that, James was encouraging the people that he wrote to. Encouragement, the word, the note, the look that says, I am with you, I care about you, you can do it. You must have been encouraged at some point in your life, not by words, but just by a look or a glance or a smile. And that's part of encouragement too. Encouragement is godlike. Scripture's full of promises about God's provision for us in times of difficulty. Through the prophet Isaiah, God reassured his people, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Encouragement can come in all sorts of forms. When I was at Connectional Committee meeting, only last week I think, the person that was reporting back on what was happening in all the churches, they call him the ecumenical officer, that's the term for what he does, but you get in touch with other denominations, find out what's happening in Parliament and in the rest of the world. He said in his report that he wanted to encourage us, and he said, I want to encourage you as churches and individuals to get involved in what's happening in Parliament at the moment. He said that there's some very frightening, scary things happening at the moment that Christians should be involved in and should know about. One of the things that's quite heavy on my heart at the moment is the subject of euthanasia. Euthanasia at the moment is gently being pushed through the House of Lords and towards the House of Commons as well. And there's a variety of bills being put forward to say that when people reach a certain age, I won't name an age because I'll insult lots of people here, but when people reach whatever age, they are then worthless. And it is their right, in fact somebody said that while we have a right to live, euthanasia should be brought in so that people have a right to die. And that's so against what God says that it just doesn't bear any resemblance with the word of God and the way that God wants us to be. And yet he encouraged individuals and churches to know about this, to pray against it, and to write letters to actually do something about it. So when I know more, I will encourage you to do the same. Jesus declared to his followers, and I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells within you, and shall be in you. John 14:16-17. John 14:16-17. Remember that, Paul. That's about the indwelling Christ. And that's the next essay that you're going to be writing, I think. So a little bit for you there. We continually wrestle with the results of living in a fallen world. We think that our faith should prevent difficulties. Encouragement can make life easier to live in what is often a godless world. And if we don't receive that encouragement, we can sink. We can be pulled down by the things of the world. And that's one reason that God has given us each other. Nothing highlights a conversation between believers like encouragement. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. William James said, "The deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated." It really does do wonders. Being appreciated, being recognised, makes a difference. The key encourager in the Bible was a man called Barnabas. Yes, Barnabas. Originally, his name was Joseph, but he was named Barnabas because that means son of encouragement. And that was what he did. He went round telling people about God and encouraging them in all sorts of different ways. He left a trail of encouraged people behind him wherever he went, which makes sense. Sorry, just about every time he appears in the New Testament, he's encouraging people, which makes sense since if one part of Christ's body is praised, all the other parts share its happiness. So we're going to look at the word Barnabas, the name Barnabas. We're going to look very briefly at each letter. And at the end of the service, I'm going to leave a copy of this at the back. So if anyone wants to take the letters and the different bits that have come from it, you can take them with you and study them at your leisure. B. B stands for bended knee, which was in one of our hymns, actually. Bended knee, prayer. 2 Corinthians 1 verses 11 and 12 says, "Help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many." The Bible says, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." 1 Samuel 12 verse 23 says that failing to pray for somebody falls into what is classed as a sin. If we don't pray, we're sinning against God. So part of encouragement is prayer, praying for people. A, for actions. There are many tasks that we can do for each other that provide encouragement. We can go and see somebody, we can help somebody cook a meal, we can encourage actions and express genuine concern and support for people. And as we do things, we will encourage them just by being there and being with them. R is for remarks, speaking. Proverbs 16:24, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." It's very easy to communicate these days. We've all sorts of means of doing it. We can pick up a phone anytime we like and speak to somebody. Everybody in this, well, the majority of people I would have thought in this building have got mobiles. You can send a text. You can ring them. You can do all sorts of things to communicate with somebody and encourage them. How often do we send notes these days? N is for notes. How often do we actually write something? Hallmark have made an absolute fortune out of printing cards with all sorts of things on them to encourage people to send notes to each other. And I'm told it's a dying art. It is for me. The last time I wrote a letter was about 2 weeks ago to my brother, and before that, probably about 2 years ago. But we do emails as well, don't we? We can email somebody an email of encouragement. Like I say, we can send them a text of encouragement. Galatians 6 verse 11, we discover that Paul wrote to the churches with his own hands. Paul wrote letters of encouragement to the churches to tell them what they could be and to encourage them in what they were doing. And sometimes a little note can make all the difference. A is for availability. Psalm 34 verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Jesus promised the presence of the Spirit to empower and encourage, and he refers to the Spirit as the Comforter or the Encourager. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you." The Holy Spirit is in us to encourage us every day. B for benevolence, generosity. Acts 22, Paul says, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we can give all sorts of things. We can give little things, we can give money, we can give time, we can give all sorts of things. And if we're giving them for God, then we're giving them to encourage people. Affection. A for affection. The power of touch. The power of touch cannot be overemphasized. Three times the Bible tells the church to greet one another with a holy kiss. And that's what they did in those times. About 3 months, maybe 4 months ago, I was doing some work for Bury. I was on duty one weekend. And I went out to see a lady that, according to one of her friends, was on the brink of suicide. She was thinking of killing herself. And I went to speak to her, and we had this conversation that went very briefly like this. How are you? I'm absolutely fine. Well, we're a bit worried about you. One of your friends has rang me up and said that you've been talking about life not being worth living. No, I'm absolutely fine. Well, why do you think she's so worried? What sort of conversations have you had that have made her worried enough to contact us so that we've come to see you? I don't know. I'm absolutely fine. This went on for 20 minutes or so. And after 20 minutes or so, I touched her hand. And I said, if you're honest with me, I can try and help you. If you don't tell me anything, there's absolutely nothing I can do. And that touch made all the difference. She told me everything that was wrong in her life, everything that she needed help with, the way she was really feeling. In the end, she didn't go into hospital. I don't know if that's good or bad, but she didn't go into hospital. But what she did get was some support from people that were able to help her during the weeks. And I can't tell you the end of the story because I don't know it. I just know that that one touch made all the difference. And sometimes that makes all the difference with us too. Just touching somebody's arm, touching, can make all the difference. And it's something that we're scared of doing as well. It's something that we're scared of doing these days because the big society out there tells us not to touch each other. It's not good. But to touch somebody's arm or their elbow or whatever can make a lot of difference in their lives. Sociability. The New Testament says gracefulness is full of hospitality. The Greek word for hospitality means to show brotherly love. And 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Has anyone ever heard of a man called Dawson Trotman? I'd be very impressed if you have. I hadn't heard of him. He formed a group called the Navigators. Heard of the Navigators? Yeah, it was an evangelistic group. It was formed in America, but it came over here as well. And it was a discipleship ministry, how to make people disciples. And 51 years ago, on June the 18th, 1956, there was a freak accident happened in New York. A speeding motorboat bounced on a wave and shot into the water two of its passengers, a 50-year-old man and a little girl. And the 50-year-old man was Dawson Trotman, the man that formed this Navigators. To keep her from drowning, the man held her head above the water while the boat circled back. And in doing this, his own head was under the water, and the man sank and he drowned. There was a quote in Time magazine that said that Dawson lived to save others. His death was just the way that he would have planned it. His obituary read, Dawson Trotman, the man who was always lifting others up. And it wasn't just that he died that way. They noted that he lived that way as well. He encouraged people in everything that he did. That's a legacy that I think we'd all like to have, that we lifted people up, that we encouraged people. There's the principle and the person of encouragement. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And the day of Jesus' return is approaching. We don't know how far it is, but we know we must be getting nearer to it every day. In the Greek, the word encourage means to call to one side, to comfort, to console, to strengthen. It's also been said that the word means to put courage in somebody. I think that's a good way of looking at encouragement, to put courage in to somebody, to give them courage that they didn't have before you spoke to them. At the time of the writing of Hebrews, there was a great persecution going on. Our tendency during such trying times would be to save our own skin or to each his own. But the book of Hebrews encourages them to encourage one another. Encouragement is the kind of expression that helps someone want to be a better Christian, even when life is rough. To encourage is to inspire another with courage. The Greek word for encourage is exactly the same word as the Greek word for comforter. So the Greek word for comforter that we take to mean the Holy Spirit is the same word as encourage, which we take to mean the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's encourager. God putting his courage within us. People equate the words of the Spirit with signs and wonders. When we encourage one another, we show that the Spirit really dwells within us. Encouragement is a great indicator that the Spirit is working in and through our small groups and through our churches. And I think that's true at Roman Road. I think we are a very encouraging church, and I pray that we'll continue to be so. Hebrews 3:12-13. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. This was something that Paul did a lot of. He told people to do things daily. He didn't say to just do them. He actually gave them a time frame around it. Encourage somebody every day. And like I say, as that goes on, it'll become a habit in your life to encourage. When a person is discouraged and we fail to encourage, sin can deceive and harden the heart to the point that the person becomes sinful and unbelieving, leading the person to turn his back away from God. Somebody wrote, "People live by encouragement. Without it, they die slowly and sadly and bitterly." Verse 24, let us fix our eyes upon, encouraging each other. In short, we're to focus on encouraging each other. It's an intentional act. Let us not give up meeting together, as some in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to encourage each other as we meet together. And where do we meet together? Is it just church, or is it outside the church? Paul is very clear that we should be meeting together regularly in all areas of our life. And that includes our social life and Tesco and wherever it is, we should be meeting together. William Barclay wrote, "It is easy to laugh at men's ideals. It is easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man or woman on his or her feet. Blessed is the man who speaks such a word." Dawson Trotman, labelled as a man who was always lifting people up. Billy Graham took the funeral And he said, I think Dawson Trotman has personally touched more lives than anybody I have ever known. We touch people's lives every day. We haven't a choice about that unless we lock ourselves in our houses and go nowhere. We haven't a choice about the fact that we do touch people's lives. The choice we've got is how we touch them. And just ask you to look at the ministry of encouragement. Final story before we close. Dante Gabriel Rossetti. He was a famous 19th century poet and artist, and he was once approached by an elderly man. The old chap had done some sketches and drawings that he wanted Rossetti to look at and tell him if they were any good, or at least if they showed some sort of talent that he could hang on to. Rossetti, the well-known artist, looked at them carefully. He looked at the first few, then he looked at a few more, and then he looked at a few more, and he realised they were worthless. They didn't show any sign of any talent at all. But Rossetti was a kind man, and he told the elderly man as gently as possible that the pictures were without much value and showed very little talent. He said he was sorry, but he couldn't lie to the man. The visitor was disappointed, but seemed to expect Rossetti's judgment. He then apologised for taking up his time, but would he look at just a few more drawings done by a different art student, a younger one? Rossetti looked over the second book of sketches and immediately became enthusiastic over the talent they revealed. These, he said, these are good. These are show elements of brilliance. This young student clearly has great talent. He should be given every help, every encouragement in his career as an artist. He has a great future if he will work hard and stick to it. Rossetti could see that the old chap was really moved. Who is this fine young artist, he said. I want to meet him, I want to see him, I want to encourage him. Is it your son? Is it a friend? No, said the old man. It's me. 40 years ago I did these pictures. If only I'd heard your praise then. For you see, I got discouraged. I gave up too soon. Encourage people and don't be discouraged, because the Holy Spirit is the great encourager, the one who fills us with courage to do the work that he wants us to do. Amen.